Never tangle with a Tengu. As you probably know, nobody with any sense ever tangles with a Tengu. But Iso-san had so little brain that he once played a trick on one. He had spent the morning trying to make a pea shooter out of a length of bamboo. But the pea had got stuck down the tube. Iso-san put the bamboo to his eye and tried to see the pea.
"Let me see through your telescope," said a voice.
And there beside him stood a smart little Japanese goblin, a Tengu. Its nose was as curly as a pig's tail, and it wore wooden-heeled sandals, a cone-shaped shiny hat, and a wonderfully woven rice straw coat.
"Let me see! Let me see!"
squeaked the Tengu. But Iso-san shook his head.
"Oh, no! The things I can see through here are far too wonderful! I'll give you my shiny hat if you let me look!"
said the Tengu, trying to snatch the bamboo out of Iso's hand.
"Oh, no! Why? I can see from Honshu to Hokkaido through this telescope." "Let me see!" squealed the Tengu. "I'll give you my sandals!"
But Iso-san shook his head and held the pipe high out of reach.
"I'll give you my invisible-making rice straw coat!"
That was what Iso had been waiting for.
"Agreed!"
he exclaimed. And throwing down the pipe, he pulled the coat round his shoulders and ran off. When he looked back, the Tengu was trying to peer down the blocked pea shooter. Steam was beginning to pour from its ears. The moment Iso-san buttoned up the rice straw coat, he disappeared altogether.
"What a joke!"
he crowed and hurried into town. The people in the crowded streets could not see so much as a whisker of Iso-san. So he boxed the ears of a big fat samurai. The samurai gasped and gaped and swung round with his fists up. And when he saw nobody there, he stepped backwards in astonishment. The invisible Iso was crouching behind him, ready to trip him up and send him sprawling in the mud. After that, Iso-san snatched the parasol out of a pretty girl's hand and raced through the streets with it while the girl ran behind, crying,
"Gracious! Oh! And not a puff of wind!"
A merchant who had just bought himself a new kimono stopped outside the shop to unwrap and admire it, only to see it fly off down the street. The customers at the fish shop were amazed to see a big fat bream leap off the slab and fly towards the river.
Oh!
Iso-san threw the parasol and the kimono off the bridge, but he carried the bream home for tea tucked inside his magic coat. When he took off the coat and hung it behind the door, he scared his old mother half to death.
"Iso, where did you spring from?" she gasped, as he slapped the fish down on the table.
Iso-san swaggered about.
"Oh, nowhere much. I've just been tangling with a Tengu or two. Cook that for supper, will you, Mother?"
But he did not tell his mother about the rice straw coat or its magic. After Iso-san had gone to bed, she took it down off the hook and shook it.
"Dirty old thing," she muttered,
and put it on the fire.
"You did what?"
yelled Iso-san next morning. He rushed to the fire and stared at the heap of ashes, all that was left of the magic coat.
"And I was going to go to the sake house for a free drink. Oh, how could you?"
Then an idea came to him. He took off all his clothes and smothered himself in the ashes of the burnt coat. Turning to his mother, he said, "There now, how do I look?"
"Where are you?"
said his mother.
"Excellent!"
exclaimed the invisible Iso.
"I'm off to the sake house."
When he got there, he crept in and sat on the floor beside a barrel of sake. Without a sound, he turned the tap of the barrel and put his mouth under it to catch the trickle of wine.
"This is the life," he thought.
Soon he had downed more sake than he had ever drunk in his life before. Just then, the landlord's dog sniffed its way over to Iso-san.
"Push off,"
hissed Iso.
"Go on, push off."
At the sound of his voice, the dog grinned and panted
and stared.
Here, have a drop of this, and then push off,
whispered Iso-san, cupping his hands under the tap and giving the dog a drink of sake. The dog's tail began to wag. The sake was so delicious that the animal instantly loved Iso and started licking his face. There was a noise of scraping chair legs. Iso-san looked around. Everyone in the inn was staring at him, their faces white with fright.
What is it? Someone whispered. A head with no body? Hands with no arms?
Iso looked down at his hands. All the ash had been washed off with the wine, and the dog had licked his face clean. He was so shaken that he let sake trickle from the tap onto his feet.
Ah! Feet without legs!
Shrieked the landlord.
What will it be when it's finished appearing?
The devil itself!
Shouted the customers, and picking up their chairs, they threw them at Iso-san. Then they chased him outside with brooms and swords and bottles.
It's only me! It's me!
Squealed Iso. But all the people could see was a face and a pair of hands and feet.
Out! Out!
No devils here!
They shouted, and Iso had to run with all his might under the hot midday sun. Sweat sprang from his skin, and as the rice straw ash became damp, its magic disappeared, and there was another patch of Iso showing. Soon he looked like a half-finished drawing as he fled towards the river with the whole town after him. At the bridge, he dived off the road and into the water where the last of the ash washed off and floated away, leaving Iso stark naked and very cold. The townspeople hung over the bridge, pelting him with rocks.
Look, it's me! It's me!
Wailed Iso.
Iso-san, what have you been up to?
Demanded the landlord.
Iso-san?
They would not let Iso out of the water until he had explained everything.
Please, won't somebody fetch me something to wear?
He grizzled, shivering in the shallows.
Not unless you promise to pay for all you drank,
called the landlord.
And to buy me a new kimono,
roared the merchant.
And to buy me a new parasol,
squeaked the young girl.
And to pay for my fish,
yelled the fishmonger.
And not until I've boxed your ears,
shouted the samurai. From the shadows of the bridge, a mischievous little face looked out. A goblin, dressed in a shiny conical hat and wooden-heeled sandals, grinned at Iso.
Now you know why you should never tangle with a tengu,
it said, and then pinged him with his own pea-shooter. We'll be right back.